Reuters has compiled a short list of people most likely to win Nobel Prizes this week. Among those on the chemistry list is Harvard geneticist George Church. WBUR's Kerry Goldberg prepared this profile as part of the WBUR series, Visionaries.
George Church grew up in Clearwater, Florida, where his school didn't even have a science teacher until he was in seventh grade. But he was fascinated by the natural world, like the mudflats near his home.
I was interested in kind of sort of random experiments, like, you know, burning things with magnifying glasses and the, you know, kind of things kids do. But to me, everything had to be explained. I was a little compulsive, maybe.
When Church was 10 years old, he traveled the farthest he'd ever been from his Florida home to the 1964 World's Fair in New York. There, he saw a vision of what the future could be like.
And that was extremely motivating for me. I mean, I decided in some sense at that moment I was going to help create that future, whatever it took.
The celebrated scientist is 62 now, a towering man of 6'5 with a full white beard, and he has helped create that future. It's a world where humans not only decode their own genes, but are beginning to alter them, even to make them in the lab. Church has long been at the forefront of this new gene era, working to figure out how to sequence or read DNA better, faster, and cheaper, how to write DNA or build it from scratch, and how to modify genes with a powerful new tool called CRISPR, a sort of a molecular scissors used to cut and edit specific genes. Church and his colleagues showed how CRISPR could be used in human and mouse cells, hence his place on this year's Nobel shortlist.
George has been inventing technologies from as far back as I can remember.
Church's wife, Ting Wu, runs her own genetics lab at Harvard. She says her husband is striving to make genetics accessible to the public. DNA sequencing has certainly become more affordable. Church points out that just a few years ago, sequencing the first human genome, or full set of genes, cost $3 billion. Now it's down to about $1,000. Church also espouses a radical openness. He talks publicly about his own genes, his lab's work, and the field in general.
And in his book, the more one shares, the faster and safer the progress, the better off we'll all be.
Church is so open that he even braves appearances on the TV comedy show The Colbert Report.
Are you playing God, sir? Because you certainly have the beard for it.
Laughs aside, the questions arising from Church's work are very serious, the stuff of sci-fi. What if we monkey with nature and something goes very wrong, as Stephen Colbert asks him?
How do you think your work will eventually destroy all mankind? Do you think, it's a couple options. Do you think it's going to be like a killer virus or more like a giant mutant killer squid man who...
Church can laugh along, but says he takes questions of safety very seriously.
I would say that I worry about everything. I'm one of the top world worriers. A lot of our innovative energy is focused on safety, security, and communication with the public.
Church's most recent public splash was his proposal to build a whole human genome in the lab, not to create a human, but to use as a tool for developing treatments for human disease.
So everything on this side over here, this is all the Church lab.
Take a tour of Church's sprawling lab in the Longwood Medical Area with postdoctoral fellow Stan Wong. And you see, Church is not just a leading mind of the genome era. He's something like its chief imagineer. There are people working to bring the woolly mammoth back from extinction. Some on engineering genes to prevent disease. Some on building the DNA of E. coli bacteria from scratch. And that's just the start of a very long list. A typical biology lab has a half dozen or a dozen members. The Church lab has 100, including its own artist and its own ethicist. Church has published more than 400 papers, applied for 90 patents, and spun off about 15 companies, two just in the last couple of weeks. Postdoc Stan Wong says the lab must be one of the best places in science to work in the world.
From, you know, the woolly mammoth to aging to preventing diseases to recoding bacterial genomes, George's lab is almost an institute unto itself.
If your ears pricked up at that mention of aging, yes, reversing aging is one of Church's projects. Postdoc Corey Smith is working on it. He says the idea is to use genetic methods to get rid of senescent or aging cells, and animal experiments look promising.
They actually showed you can remove senescent cells in mice and dramatically extend the lifespan, up to a quarter increase in life. And also it increased the health span, which is very important as well.
Church says he'd be willing to try gene-based aging reversal on himself pretty early on, of course, after some safety testing.
I have been a guinea pig most of my life, one way or another.
And that might not be too far away. He expects tests in dogs to start in a year or so, and human trials a year or two after that. It may seem far out, the prospect of making people younger, but Church says genetic science is advancing at such an exponential pace that it's hard to keep up with.
Our experience has mostly been that things that look like they're 6 decades away are actually 6 years away.
All the more reason, he says, to talk early and often about the powers we're gaining to engineer life itself. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Carrie Goldberg.